Robbie Clark. It's good to see everybody today. It's good that these town halls are continuing to go on every week. And like the brother was saying outside, as long as we're here and we keep on doing this, then we'll definitely be truth and justice will win out in the end. The work we do at Just Cause Oakland, we're a housing rights organization. We've been working for the banks to be accountable in this foreclosure crisis. So the issue that happened at 74th is a dual issue that's not just about the police and their excessive force and the excessive force that they use in our communities, but it's also about the negligence of the banks in maintaining and taking care of properties as well. So our end of it, we've been hammering on the banks, and we have got the bank that owns the building at 74th Avenue to pay for the lodging of the tenants there for the next 3 weeks. It also got them to pull in construction crews and whatnot to fix up the building to repair the damages that the police caused. But the damages that the police caused are not just physical to that building and are not just about the personal belongings, but are about the trauma that the families there have faced at the hands of the excessive force of the police, and are really about the police just feeling like they can act with impunity in our communities and displace our people, hurt our people, hurt our children, and not really see the full potential of our communities. And that's why we're here today, because we know that you all here are concerned with those issues and are concerned with the police really being accountable to the community and acting like what they're supposed to do as protecting and serving the community, and are really a part of the movement and the struggle for making that happen in our community. So we can see that. So thank you for being here. A few of the sisters just walked in. I'm not sure if Brother Keith, or Mr. Keith, I'm sorry, is going to introduce them, or if they would like to come up and speak. Either one of you like to come up and speak? Just talk about it. So we're going to introduce Sister Tanisha Marbury, who's going to come up and share a little bit about what happened at the police raid Friday, September 25th, and what's going on moving forward.
Hello, everybody. Basically, if you've been watching the news, pretty much what it is. As far as the stress and the struggle, it's bad. The first time with the mixing situation, we were there. That time, it was more traumatizing and stressful. Our homes wasn't destroyed by it. It was just a bad situation that happened in the building, but it didn't affect our living. This time, 6 months later, instead of them just coming to do what they needed to do in that one unit, it affected all the units. They kicked in our doors, they destroyed our property, they tear gassed my house. That's my newborn baby. She was only 9 days old on the day that it happened. They left us outside for 13 hours. I didn't have no diapers, no milk, no nothing. And it's just sad. It's real sad. And then they treat us like criminals. Even when we tried to come back and explain our, you know, plead our case, like, oh, we just live here. This is the second time. What is going on? They have nothing to say. I'm like, excuse me, officer, excuse me. Can I go in the building? My baby don't have any ignore, totally ignoring me. I'm like, I have a newborn baby. Can somebody say something? Oh, well, you can talk to the lieutenant. Where's the lieutenant? Oh, he's around the corner down the street somewhere. I'm like, okay. Can we just be calm, because it's already a bad situation, but it's terrible. When we did go back in, they told me that at 3 o'clock that morning, after it happened, 3 o'clock Saturday morning, they told me that, oh, you guys will be able to return to your apartments in 10 hours. So we had already been talking to Red Cross and, you know, trying to figure out, well, who's going to help us now? Because I don't know, we didn't know what was going on in the building. When the standoff was over, one of the lieutenants, after I did get someone to talk to me, he walked me back in the building. He told me, when I get to the second floor, to hold my breath, because that's where the tear gas is. But I live on the third floor. So when I got to the second floor, I took a deep breath, got past there. No, I didn't get affected by it. I went into my unit, eyes burning, choking, my skin started burning, and I'm like, okay, my mirror is off my dresser, my house is tore up. I'm like, so why did they tear up my house? And he didn't know. So he was like, when I start choking, so he grabbed my arm like, oh no, they tear gas upstairs too. He didn't even know what had happened. And it's just sad that who's calling the shots? Are they just acting off their instincts, or are you acting because you're upset? And then when the Oakland SWAT was there, Oakland Police SWAT was there, I was in a house two doors down from when they had the whole standoff. They wouldn't let us out of there. Luckily, my neighbor, you know, she let us stay in there. She had like noodles and stuff. We had to have a SWAT member, after maybe an hour, finally go across the street to my other neighbor. They had a newborn too. Luckily, they had diapers and a can of milk for me. But at the time that he went over there to get that for me, one of their SWAT members passed out on the porch across the street during the standoff. Mm. So they had to wet him down with a water hose and stuff. So that's when they start saying, well, Oakland Police is traumatized. They can't be here. Come relieve them. That's when they sent in Alameda County SWAT team. Relieve them. They're traumatized. What about, we were living here too. We was a part of the first wave. Out of there so fast. When on their way out, why they couldn't take us out with them? Why do we still have to stay behind the yellow tape and still smear the tear gas and not have no food, no clothes, no nothing for our kids? I mean, I'm 34 years old. My baby is only a week and a half at the time. You know, she can't inhale that or fend for herself or have a wet butt for 13 hours or no food or, you know, none of that. And I just, it's just not right. And you know, it's like everybody asks me, do I hate the police? I don't hate no one. God told me to love everybody, but there is something that needs to be done, because do the police hate me? Not certain ones. Do they hate me? Honestly, because I'm out here with a newborn child. And when I asked him, well, you know, what if it was your child? It's a newborn baby in here. Mm-hmm. You don't know. How can you not know? If you never had a child in your life, if you see a little infant baby, your heart should tell you to know. Mm. You know? That's just, I mean, I don't know. But like right now to this day, you know, they're still telling us that it aired out the next day. Next day we came back, the news couldn't even stand it the next day. And I exposed my baby to it by the first day when they told me that my house wasn't tear gas, no other unit was affected by them tear gas in the building. It, when I start burning and itching and stuff, it got on me. So when I, mind you, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, my baby still hadn't got to no milk or diapers. I'm trying to get to my house to get her stuff, thinking that it wasn't damaged. And everything that she had was damaged, milk, diapers, everything. So when I came back down, my mother-in-law, which is her grandmother, had her with her, but she was crying. So mother instinct, I'm still not knowing her. That tear gas was all over me. I grabbed my baby and picked her up, trying to console my baby, and she ended up having to go to the hospital like a couple of days later. But it's just like, now that it took for me to get a letter from the doctor to let you really know that my child can't return to this building. How many times do I have to say it? She's a newborn. If we can't breathe in it, then how can a newborn breathe in it? How can a two-year-old? She has a two-year-old. My other cousin has 8, 9, and 10-year-olds. You know, they're little kids. You know, my 13-year-old, I won't even let him go back in there either. But his lungs are a little stronger, but he's still a child too. You know, it's just unfair. You know why? Even if you hate us to the point where we have to endure stuff, we can jump up and run and lightweight understand what's going on. But these kids don't deserve it. They didn't ask to be here, and they really don't deserve it. It's just like, it needs to be justice, for real. Because it's like, not only did we do it the first time and kept our mouths closed the first time, they didn't evacuate the building the first time. Them boys could have went in anybody's house. You know, they didn't evacuate the building the first time, but because people lost loved ones and lost lives, and that was more tragic than, you know, as we felt like, okay, these people need our help. We was helping people, and all the time we were victimized too. You know, we helping the police and giving them water and, you know, but all the time we coming in our house, they looking at us like, you can't come here where you live. You just see me walk out of here and ask me for my ID on my way out. When I come back, coming to get something from something to eat, get something to eat. Oh, where's your ID? Well, it doesn't say this address. But I just left here and said, I'm going to get something to eat. Do you guys need anything? It was, oh, no, we don't need anything. Now I come back, you treat me like you never seen me before. I mean, I understand. I appreciate the fact that you guys so-called were secure in the building. But all the time, you were just really treating it. It's just been unfair ever since the first time. But like I said, we let it go the first time just because, you know, that was like people lost loved ones. And I, you know, that just was like a hurtful feeling. And we endured that. We sucked it up and took it and lived there. We still stayed. And we never spoke out on it. I mean, we talked about it a little bit, but it wasn't an ongoing situation. Once it died down, the building is in foreclosure now. After that building, well, the building had to be already in foreclosure, but we found out that it was being foreclosed a couple of months down the line. We started receiving letters about foreclosure. Not only did we have a first trust, and now we got this. And then 2 months later, we have another standoff. It's just like, what is going on? There's a dark cloud over that building, and something needs to happen. I don't know. It's just like the police, it's like no one cares. It's like if you live in that building, you just don't exist. Some people, we didn't have money to just jump up and move like that. You know, nobody, we're not rich, and we didn't ask for this to happen. Neither incident had nothing to do with no one that lives in that building. That, you know, it's just unfair to us. And I just hate to see any other situation happen like that. It's just a hard thing to go through, but you know, we're trying to cope, and right now to this day, they still think you guys can return to the building. And it's how. But like we said, until I see you and your kids go spend one night, not the year lease that we're on, but one night, you and your kids go spend one night and tell me if it's safe to go back in there. Thank you.
So thank you, Sister Nisha. Thank you to everyone for being here. And what we're looking for and what we're going to be doing, the next steps is to look for the police to pay for the relocation of the tenants in that building that would like to relocate to a new house. And so the police actually do have that relocation fund, so we ask for the community support and getting the backup to be able to push to get that, so that way these families can have safe and healthy housing. Thank you very much.
What's the status of that building? Is it still in foreclosure?
Yes. It's owned by Tamil Pius Bank.
Which bank?
Tamil Pius. It's a small bank in San Rafael.
Was it in foreclosure back when the Vixen?
Well, the residents didn't know it was.
Must have been delinquent.
Yeah, it must have been delinquent. Yeah. It would have at least been delinquent because
back then he didn't let us know that it was that
Let me ask Sister Robbie, how do you make contact with whoever has the authority to ensure that the police department that has a treasure for relocation? Do you know who in the department that is?
We're still doing that research. So that's part of the reason why we came here, because we know a lot of people here are working on issues of police accountability. Our angle is, you know, mainly around the housing issue, so we know a lot about that stuff. So we're doing a lot of research right now around who holds on to that police fund. So we're looking for that information and looking for help from the community and being able to identify.
If you call me tomorrow.
Have you attempted to make contact with the new police chief?
He's not in yet? Right.
We have contacted the DA about investigating the whole raid itself, right, and how it went down. And so we have made contact with the new DA. And so we are looking to contact the police chief as well, and looking for the help from you all in doing that.
If you can contact me tomorrow sometime early, so we can determine who it is at OPD that these families need for their relocation effort. Since OPD has destroyed the property twice, and in the meantime the owner has lost possession, these of our sisters have done no wrong, and to have their homes damaged beyond livability, even if the bank or the prior owner lost the property and it belongs to the bank,
right.
The bank may have had to honor their lease, but why would they want to stay with a lease?
Right.
When the property is inundated with gas and other damages produced by law enforcement action. So
right.
The city owes it to these families to relocate, and we want the families to know we will do our part to make sure that you responded to appropriately. I believe that's Councilperson Brooks' district. So we'll be in contact in the lease with your councilperson before the weekend is up. And if you all stay in touch with Sister Robbie or get in touch with us directly, then we'll do our part to help you. No one's staying in the building at all now?
I think there's one.
Right, because they don't have any place else to go.
Yeah, they don't have any place there.
And, you know, this is proof of the need.
The Section 8 is going to tell them that they can't be in that.
This just proves that we have to do for self.
Yeah.
It really does. Because they said that they called the Red Cross. Is that how that worked? You looked for help. But there was not a government institution that knew that there was a raid going on looking for a gunman. Everybody's looking at it on TV all day long. So the elected officials had to have known that something was happening. The service providers had to have known that something was happening. There should have been somebody that knew that human beings needed help.
That's right.
And, yes, ma'am.
The first time on the incident was 6 months ago. I was in the building and they kept me hostage for 13 hours with nothing to eat, nothing to drink, nothing that, like, I basically need to survive myself. Me and my friend was in there for 13 hours. And it was like, basically my whole point was, why didn't you, like, basically get the people out of the building who had nothing to do
right.
with it? Why would you leave us in that building? And they shot over 50-something bullets back and forth towards each other. Back then, at least a minute and a half. And I feel like, why would you do that? Yeah, it's like, you know, bullets don't have no names and they go through the wall. So
that's
why
right.
would you do something like that? This time that it happened, they was going to do the same thing once again had I not been outside of the building and had to tell the police officer, there's three kids in that building, you need to get them out of there. And there's other people in that building. So then they didn't even want to go up in there. Had this one older man was in the building, he hadn't been coming out. We have to yell to him, get some kids out of the building, you need to get your family out too. So he instantly turned around and got all the people out of the building. If it wasn't for him coming out there, they wouldn't have did nothing, and them three kids would still be in that building.
That happened when it started at 1 in the afternoon. That standoff, they didn't get on those bullhorns until about 1:30, 2:00 a.m. Saturday.
Right.
It started Friday today. Mm-hmm. So bullhorns and everything else should have been from, I feel, when you figured he was in there.
And he wasn't in there.
The police never moved anyone out. The police never moved anyone out. It was one of the neighbors that moved you out.
The first time, no, they didn't move anybody out. I did not know that. I was in my bedroom doing my hair, and my friend had came to me, and she said, girl, why is all these people around your building? Why is all these police officers swarming around your building with guns pointing at your window? I was like, girl, stop lying. She was like, I swear, you better come look. And I peeked out my window and I was like, oh my God, they are out here like that. And we didn't even know what was going on. They didn't get on no bullet horn, they didn't say nothing. But this time when they came, they knew they was wrong for the last time. So they came with bullet horns this time.
They didn't get on.
But they didn't use them.
But they didn't use them.
So right
before they tear gassed
right
the place.
Wow.
Oh, and they
put
a phone upstairs.
Evidently, 911 isn't adequate by our numbers. We would need our own hotline. Had we known, sister, that you were out of your home in need of children's needs and food and shelter and clothing, we would have responded ourselves. We wouldn't have waited for the Red Cross, we waited for some agency. We need our own hotline. This is what this is telling us.
Right, right, right.
That when our people are made to suffer like this, that unfortunately
we've given such trust to the system of things that we hope that those that manage and govern these systems are adequate to the task. If nothing else, Brother Bobby, Bart's actions prove how inadequate those in the systems have been. Well, now we see it here again. You've got people, we saw it on television. In fact, I get my hair cut right at the, around the corner. And one of the brothers was stuck in his barber shop until 3 in the morning.
Wow.
As you all were stuck in wherever you were until 3 in the morning. And it seems it would have been quite easy to offer humane treatment since you were not the suspects. And as I heard it on the news, one man told the police, he said it to the news anyway, that the person you're looking for is not in this building.
Yeah, a lady did too.
And I would imagine, again, they've got enough technology. They can hear you breathe if they want to.
Right, right.
If they want to, they can hear you breathing in a room.
Yes.
So if there's someone hiding in a room, they've got motion detectors. They've got heat detectors. They've got sound devices. Not to mention, if it were at night, they've got infrared lenses that allow them to see more clearly at night. If they were looking for somebody, they have the equipment to know if somebody is in the building without having to harm the safety. And it would be an inconvenience having to move. You can't escape that if they're searching for a suspect of some kind. But what they can have done is provided the necessary humane service for the people that live there.
Right.
They could have opened up a neighboring church. In fact, Eastmont Mall is right around the corner
with
a police station and could have provided everything that you all needed.
The Red Cross people, they would not even let them come down that block to feed us. And I was watching my cousin, because she stayed in the building too. My other cousin with the 3 kids. I was watching her kids, and they would not even let the Red Cross around to give them cheeseburgers and stuff, but they were giving cheeseburgers around
to
the office.
To the officers. I'm sure they're eating donuts all
night. That's what they were saying about they victimized them. If you were looking for a suspect, he was not hiding in my baby's formula. Why did you pour that out? He was not hiding in my freezer. Why did you jump that off? He was not in the tub. Why did you poop in there? I mean, they vandalized. Not only did they kick in our door, they vandalized each one's unit. So it wasn't just that they were looking for a suspect. They came in there to terrorize us.
Seemed like her civil rights were,
Sisters, we're going to look as deeply into this. We will look as deeply into this as it can be looked. And whatever we can do to secure justice for you and others that live there, then we'll be found doing that. This report will be on the internet, so it can be heard all around the world. But we don't need the internet. We got voices. And we will raise our voices for justice for those that suffered there at 74 in the garden. You can count on that.
That's right.
That we will stand with you. Sisters and brothers, let's give these families. So that has to be added to the town hall list.
That's right.
Of issues that we've got to respond to. We thank Sister Robbie and the work of Just Cause Oakland, who are always on the front line helping us to keep our homes. They've already fought back them having to pay. Now imagine they would have to have paid rent on this property destroyed by a police action that wasn't involving them. They were going to have paid rent, even though repairs had yet to be made. They showed them on TV trying to fix up stuff that they should have fixed up. Probably a lot of that stuff was broken before the news cameras got there. And they come up welding up stuff that had nothing to do with what they just did.
You know, they just now cleaned up the blood from the first shoot.
Ooh, wow.
Just now
because of the
second incident. That's what we had to do with that. And that was on the first door. So every time we walk into the building, it's blood.
Wow.
They just
cleaned
that up.
Thank you, sisters, for making us aware. And I'm sure that this community will stand with you. And if you stay in touch with us, Where is Sister Beatrice? Ask Sister Beatrice, she can exchange and secure from you all the numbers we need to be in contact so that we can do what must be done to make sure that this kind of foolishness really has to stop happening.
That's right.
So these law enforcement officers who come from parts unknown,
right,
who have little or no concern for you because they're not from here, mm-hmm, and many times don't look like you, consciously, are looking on us as animals and themselves being the zookeepers. And that presents the kind of treatment that Oscar received the night of January the 1st, mm-hmm, the kind of treatment that you all received, having had nothing to do with Lavelle Nixon. And of course, Lavelle did not live there either. And we certainly raised questions about the way that the building was raided when they went after Lavelle Nixon, up to including harming other young ladies that were in the property while they were looking for Lavelle Nixon, and treating those that appeared to know him as though that they were criminals while they were clearly chasing after Lavelle Nixon. You're not a criminal for knowing somebody that may have had an involvement in some contact with the police.
I went to Lavelle Recovery Home. I knew it was everybody who didn't know him that well. But one of my other neighbors went to the funeral too. They ran out of obituaries, so she got one and I didn't. She also attended my aunt's funeral with me, and we both had both obituaries. I put obituaries on my wall. Everybody with obituaries in the funeral attended. And she had Lavelle with my aunt and another one of her relatives and stuff on her wall. They ripped down Lavelle's torso.
On this recent range?
On this second one. And on the first one, they put, you know, the shooting range, and you know, the paper that you shoot.
The target.
They put the target in front of our building and said, how many times he gets shot, not enough. And then it's like threats, like the investigators will come in and out of our building without just go in there. And they just pass by and look at us. We had domino tables, like we play dominoes, you know, we associate with each other because we all family. They would, when we go in the house at night, they'll throw the tables literally across the fence with the chairs across the fence. And then, you know, I'll say, well, whatever, I'll climb the fence and I'll get them back and I'll put them back out there. To the point they got so angry, they broke the legs on the tables so that we can't come outside and get over.
And that was our way of
consoling. Yeah, because we were consoling each other. So that was our way of dealing with it. And they broke the tables on the chairs. It's like ridiculous.
They spray painted his face. They stuffed out the candles. And I thought maybe it was somebody else that was angry that officers had been murdered too. Which, you know, I'm like, okay, people may be mad or whatever. So my house is like, I'm on the third floor, but I'm still right on the front street. So the family came out, you know, after the funeral. They said this is going to be our last time for a memorial other than the birthday party we did the day of his death. They leaked them. So the day of the funeral, when they came to do it again, someone told me to stay at 4:30 that morning. Here comes the police officer in the paddy wagon. I hear a whole bunch of glass breaking and a bunch of swearing. And I was like, what is that? Mind you, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I looked outside.
Sure enough, it's a
police
paddy wagon
with the light shining on the building, and I could just hear them slamming the candles, throwing them against the
building. They spray painted
his face and ripping up the pictures. And I'm like, what is that brutal? This is after the police funeral. After the police funeral was over. Yes, ma'am. So it was after the all you've done is make us more firm in our demand for justice. So this just makes us more angry, which just tells us the fight is bigger than many people may imagine. So when we started earlier talking about David and Goliath, this is what we're dealing with. And Mr. Raines is the attorney for that kind of mindset. So we know what we're fighting with in Oscar's case, and we know what we're fighting with in the shooting of Lavelle Nixon and that whole conflict. So we want to thank you all for your time
for your attention, for your participation. I'd like to ask Pastor if he can take us out with thoughts and prayer. And Tuesday, remember, 11:30, Alameda County Courthouse, we will gather. We should meet the press shortly afterwards, and then those that are able to go into the court procedure to go on in a dignified and honorable way to show our support and love. Did you have a question?
No. That date, the address again, I'm out for the
1225 Fallon?
It's 1225 Fallon Street at the Alameda County Renee Davidson Courthouse at the corner of 12th Street and Oak. Now, there's a flyer that's going around, just so you know it's incorrect. The date is incorrect that BAM produced. It says Friday, October the 2nd, and they made a new one, but it still didn't have the dates right. The date is Tuesday, October the 6th. And so, again, we'll gather at 11:30, those that are able, and then those that are able to stay, we want to go in and see the proceeding.
The actual court is at 1 o'clock, though?
We should be prepared by 1 to go in. So, Pastor, would you close us out? Please receive the pastor of this house, our brother.
Come on, let's grab hands. Father, let's pray for one year. What has been shared for all the enlightenment, the information that has come today from this podium. And we ask your blessings and benedictions upon us as we leave here. And give us grace for this week and the challenges and demands that we must meet. Now keep us all safe and healthy. Keep us all sane to be able to see each other again. It's to that end that we pray. And everyone said.